Hi, thank you, everybody. I just love coming to Slough because you're just like a bit mad. And you just never quite know what's going to happen in these meetings. I just love hearing the kids banging the tambourines, just having some fun here in the meeting. I just love that. But I also just wanted to say thank you to you. For some of you know that I've been and am going through my cancer journey. And I just want to really thank you for all your prayers and love and support through that. As you can see, the old hair is growing back. I'm working on the comb over. Little way to go. But the hair's growing back. And as you can see, I'm doing really well. So just thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Because I know some of you I don't see for months on end, but I just am really aware of your love and your prayerful support. So it's just a real joy to be with you today, just to be able to deliver that in person. Now, when Ian and Sabina invited me to come and speak to you today, he asked me to bring some encouragement around the whole area of prayer and intercession and making declarations. And for me, it's always a joy to encourage people in these areas. And maybe I've come at it from a slightly different angle to normal, but these are just some of the things that I've been thinking about recently. And I'm thinking about, once we have experienced something of this incredible peace and love and grace of Jesus in our lives, we do wonder, what is stopping everyone else from wanting to kind of rush in and meet him? When we experience the goodness of God in our lives, we go, well, why isn't the whole world, you know, coming to him? And even for Christians who've been Christians for a long time, what is it that holds people back from coming into the fullness of the inheritance that God has for us? So I'm just going to be looking at a little bit around that today, and maybe what our role in prayer is for breaking through some of those things. When we think about the kingdom of God coming, we often see this command in Scripture to prepare a clear highway for the coming of the Lord. Just realised I haven't got my specs on, which means I could be going adrift at any moment. So there we go, specs on. I can see what I'm doing now. So we're called to prepare a clear highway for the coming of the Lord. And if any of you have been on any streets or roads where, even through the winter, the ice has been working, and you know, there's great big potholes in the ground, and you know, you're driving along in your car, and you kind of have to really slow down because there's some great holes in the road. Or for those who've traveled more widely across the world, in Africa and in other less developed parts of the world, you know, you just can't go at top speed because you just don't know what lumps and bumps and great boulders may have fallen down just round the corner that you could end up going round and hitting if you're not careful. And we have this call from the Lord in Matthew 3:3, which says, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. And what a difference it is when we get on a highway or a road, even one that's just been freshly tarmacked, and you can just feel the smoothness and you can pick up speed, hopefully not beyond the speed limit, I hastily add, seeing as I'm preaching. And but, you know, what a difference it feels to be able to just pull out the throttle, just let the car go in the direction it wants to go. And so we are God, as God's people, are called to deal with the obstacles that get in the way of the Lord's will and purposes, of people coming to know his incredible love. We're called to bring down the speculations and every lofty thing that is raised against the knowledge of God. These are these things that get in the road that prevent people getting to the Father's house or getting into the fullness of his love. They're boulders, aren't they? They're stones, they're holes in the road, they're mountains, they're valleys. And they get in the way of the Lord coming. They get in the way of us coming to the Lord. Just a few scriptures around that. Isaiah 40 verse 4 says, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. Isaiah 42:16 says, make the rough places smooth. So this is a calling that we have on our lives, is to make the rough places smooth build this highway so people can easily find the love of God and the peace of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God in their lives. Now we're going to find out whether this PowerPoint is actually working. Do you think we could go on to put that up? So I'm going to talk today of a verse which says, "My word is a fire and a hammer." That might not be one that you're familiar with, but we'll come back onto that. Now, I'm going to see whether this clicker actually works. It does. God is good to me. Not that it matters that it fails, because we don't really care, don't we, not here? But it's good that it works. So am I in your way for seeing the words? If I step back a little bit, then you can... Pardon? Am I fine in front of it? Can everybody see the words? Right, thank you. So I wonder if you'd like to read this out, because there's real power in reading out the word of God. So let's just read out this command, this word of scripture. It says, pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Now, I'm just going to put that up again in a different version. This is the contemporary English version. It just maybe makes some of those words a little bit clearer to us. So I'll read this over you. So it starts with people of Jerusalem. So that's kind of who you are. You are God's people gathered here. So these are kind of a bit of a word I want to read over you guys. People of Jerusalem, open your gates. Repair the road to the city and clear it of stones. Raise a banner to help the nations find their way. Here is what the Lord has said for all the earth to hear. Soon I will come to save the city of Zion and to reward you. Then you will be called the Lord's own people, the ones he rescued. Your city will be known as a good place to live and a city full of people. A good place to live and a city full of people. So just going back one, if I'm there, you can see that we're called, first of all, to be proactive. There's a real action that we have to take at the beginning of this. It says, people of Jerusalem, open your gates. Not hide away in your own little world, your own little home, your own little church even, but open the gates. Open the gates, because there's people there who are longing to know this love of God, but they just don't know how to get there because of the stones and the boulders that are in the way. We're called to make a way for people to come to know Jesus, or even for those who already know Jesus to come deeper into relationship with him. And we're called to both build up the highway positively, but also remove the stones and the hindrances that stop us from really entering into the fullness of his love. We're called to raise a banner to help the nations find their way. And when you think about raising banners in the olden days in the army, you know, there would be a banner would be taken into battle, and that would be the rallying point, wouldn't it? So when all the troops were in the middle of all the chaos of their lives and the battle and the fight, they could look and they could see the banner, and they would gather around the banner that is there. Similarly to if you're going off for a little walk around Windsor and you see the tourist guides and they have their umbrellas up and you have all your kind of tourists that have come in from abroad and they haven't a clue what's going on and they don't know which way to go. The tourist guide holds up the umbrella and basically says, follow me, follow this orange umbrella. and I will show you the way to go. It is the rallying call of people who are on a journey, who are wanting to achieve something, learn something, get somewhere. And so we are called to raise a banner, a standard, to use the military term, that people can gather around, a place where they can find victory and they can find love and community. And it's a place, just check you're reading what I'm reading, where we proclaim good news. So as people gather to our banner, we proclaim good news that God is love. God is good. God is kind. He is gracious. He accepts and loves us just as we are. But it's also a place of transformation, redemption, as people are found by God. Your city will be known as a good place to live and a city full of people. And that's true of the whole of the family of God, that we are growing to be this good place for people to come into, a good place for people to live. And we're going out to clear away the stones and the boulders that might prevent them from coming in. The Father's house is just wonderful. The Father's house is the best place in the world to be. The Father's family is the best place. It's what everybody is craving for in the world, is to come back into the Father's house. A good, good Father. That's who he is. And not everybody has had good, good fathers in this world. But with God, he is a good Father. And we want to be in his house and his family. So what are these boulders? What are these stones that seem to block the road for people to come into that knowledge of the love of God? So I don't know if you guys have Bibles or look at Bibles or look on your phones for Bibles or whether you just want to listen to me, but I just want to open up this few verses from Jeremiah 23. Are we there yet? Hello, guys. Can I find slide 6? There we go. Found it. Thank you. Now, in Jeremiah 23, the passage of 23, which is where this word, remember at the beginning I said I was going to talk about your word is a fire and a hammer. That is the passage that that word is set in. And just to give you a little bit of a background to the situation that that word was spoken into it. First of all, there were really uncaring shepherds. I don't mean uncaring shepherds who were actually going around hitting sheep and things. I mean, I don't know if anybody's been driving around lately, but I don't know. Do you really enjoy seeing all the lambs coming into the field? I know. Trouble is, when I see all the lambs and piglets, it makes me want to become a vegetarian because I just adore those little things and I can't bear the fact that I actually eat them. The fact is, we're not talking about kind of the shepherds and actual sheep. We're talking about the people who were put in place for the people of God to care for them as shepherds, to look after them and care for their needs. And at the beginning of this chapter, we've got shepherds who are not doing their job. We have got leaders and fathers of the nation who are not caring well for the people. Let me just read this from verse 2. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who are tending my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not attended to them, declares the Lord. Then I myself, this is the Lord saying, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their pasture. And they will be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them and they will tend them. And they will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Now, doesn't that describe so much of what the state of people's hearts and lives? That actually they feel lost, they feel scattered, they feel the people who should have been caring for them maybe haven't been caring for them very well. And people have deep heart wounds, broken hearts there's a lot of broken hearts out in the world, and there might be some broken hearts actually here amongst us because we have not received the caring and the love that maybe our hearts have craved for. But this is the truth, that the good shepherd is coming to us again and healing those wounds, healing those pains, healing those father wounds, those mother wounds, those brother and sister wounds, those hurts in our heart. The good father himself is saying, I myself will come and care for you so that you will no longer be afraid, nor terrified, nor will any be missing. So that's one of the things that was the context. There were uncaring shepherds in the land. The people who should have been leading them had actually left the people with wounded hearts. But there was something else going on in the land. Verse 16 says, this is what the Lord Almighty says, do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. And I see this, that there are messages that go out from our culture, which are actually like lies. They are words that actually are leading people down the wrong path, that tells people that their worth depends upon their success, or their money, or their power, or their beauty. You know, there is this message that says, you are worth something if ... And a lot of us have bought into those lies, because that is the prevalent message that is coming out from our culture of what makes you successful, what makes you lovable. And yet God comes and he says, I love you because I love you. There is nothing that you need to do to be acceptable to me. There is nothing you need to do to, you don't need to bang on the doors of my father's house, because when I see you coming from afar, I fling wide the doors and I send out my people to clear up any stones and make a clear highway for you, because I love you so much and I want you to enjoy the fullness of the father's house. Whereas the message that comes across in our culture is that we have to strive and strain and stress to come to that place of peace and rest in the Father's house. And there are also a lot of lies going around in our culture about what God is like. That he's a miserly, grumpy, judgmental, nitpicking, angry. Just out to delete you. Smite you. Just angry with you all the time. And it is so, so sad, because it is so not who the Father is. It is so not who the Father is. It's the opposite of who the Father is. And in Jesus we see someone who, if he gave his only son for us, how much more will he give us all things? He is a loving, generous, giving Father. So there are these lies out there in society which are like big boulders that can prevent us from actually coming home to the Father. Is this making kind of sense? Do you sort of kind of get this? But you know, it's not just out there, it's actually here within our own hearts as well. Our wounded hearts and sometimes the lies that we have picked up and believed can act as boulders and stones in our own heart that prevent us from coming into the fullness of all that God has for us in his love. Let's move on further down that passage of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, verse 28, says, let the one who has my word. Now, actually, that's us. And that, I'm not saying that in an arrogant way. That's not just saying, well, we know it all and nobody else knows. I'm just saying we have experienced the word of God, the truth of this loving God. It's touched our lives. It's revelation to us. And it's saying, let the one who has had this revelation of the Father's love and the grace of Jesus speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? That's interesting. God's word that we speak out, that we're asked to speak out faithfully, is like fire and like a hammer. That seems two very kind of different things, doesn't it, to us? But, you know, if a stone was too big to move, it would take forever chipping at it. But then what they would do, the people would build a fire around that boulder, and they would keep stoking that fire until the actually consistency of the rock would change so that it would become brittle, and then one blow from the hammer would actually shatter the rock to pieces. So hopefully we have a little YouTube clip coming up which is going to show us exactly this, the fire and the hammer. Anyway, in your imaginations, what it is just a picture of a great big boulder, a big stone. And they start to build this fire around it. And they just can't keep stoking the fire, stoking the flames, stoking the flames, stoking the flames. And then at a certain point, you can see the boulder beginning to change in colour. And they come with a great big hammer and they bash the boulder and it just disintegrates in front of them. So that's what it looks like. When you go home, go on YouTube and put fire and hammer breaking rock or something, and you can look at it for yourself, because it is quite fun. So you get the idea, don't you, anyway. And this made me think about these boulders in our communities and in the lives of our families, and even those in our own hearts and minds that seem to be a blockage to the kingdom of God coming in its fullness to us. And they're boulders of heart wounds, possibly from the lack of good shepherding and fathering, and boulders of lies and ungodly mindsets, and possibly from the false prophets of culture around us. And if we've been hammering on those rocks bit by bit for a long time, with very little happening, then I think there are some keys here for us that might help us in our prayers and our intercession of breaking those boulders. First of all, it is not my word like fire. And when we think of the effects of fire, we think of when a fire is built, some of the things that it does is purification. When you build a fire, you can put the rubbish on it, can't you? And it kind of all burns away, does the rubbish. So when we build a fire around an issue or a problem, it means that the rubbish in that issue is being burnt off. Fire is also a place of safety against the enemy. Sort of in those who are camping out at night in a dangerous place where there might be wild animals around, to gather around the fire, the animals won't come near to that fire. So it keeps danger away. So as we build a fire around the boulders, these issues that we are addressing, it can keep danger and enemies away whilst God is working in that process. Fires also bring a gathering, doesn't it, of people. You know, anybody done their sort of campfire burning with the scouts and guides or youth clubs or on camping? There is something about gathering around a fire pit, isn't it, in the dark, which is something really special and creates a great sense of community around people. And so, again, building that fire around an issue brings that issue into family, into community, rather than people being isolated with their difficulties and their problems. Even with those things, they're being drawn into the safety of loving community. But as we build fire around these issues and these problems, it's also changing something within those problems so that it can be broken more easily. So what sort of words and declarations stoke the fire? What do we speak out that actually makes that fire stronger? And I came up with a few. I'm sure there's many more. The first one I thought of was thanksgiving. And often when we're faced with an issue or a difficulty or a problem, that can seem so large. If we're trying to get down a road and there is a boulder in the middle of it, often all that we can think of is how do we get past this problem? This problem is filling our whole mind and thought. Whereas actually, thanksgiving lets us see the things that lie ahead, the things that have been good around us, the things that are still positive. It lifts our eyes from the problem to the Lord. And we remember his good provision, even in the midst of that problem. We are thankful for all the good things that God is doing and has been doing. Another one is testimony. Again, these are all things we speak out. These are all things that our words say. We declare testimony of Jesus around that issue. And we know that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when we speak out what God has done concerning that problem, we're actually calling for God to do it again in this situation. So say if a boulder is a real difficulty in a marriage, say. Maybe some parts of our family are really struggling and there's a really desperate marriage issue and we think the marriage is going to be lost and that relationship broken. And it seems a huge thing and we think, Lord, how can that ever change? And then within our hearts, we call to mind the testimonies of healed marriages. We remember how God can come in and actually change people's relationships and marriages can be restored. And we can recall the times he has done that in the past. And we remember those things as we are praying for this couple in their brokenness. If our difficulty is a child that is getting into a load of mess and a load of trouble, and it just feels like we're helpless to call them back and to put it right, we just remember the testimonies of the people who have really gone astray, got themselves into some right messes, and yet God's met them and actually called them back to himself and healed their body, mind, soul and spirit and restored them to him. And we remember those things whilst that issue is in front of us. And I'm just thinking, I don't know if any of you saw the testimony or the story by the Archbishop of Canterbury that went out yesterday, where he discovered that actually his real father was not who he thought it was. There'd been a DNA test done and he was a result of a fling between his mother and I can't remember, was it private secretary to the Prime Minister, literally days before she actually eloped and married somebody else. So that came out yesterday, but what an incredible testimony it was that he shared about how he had come from this really dysfunctional family. His mother was an alcoholic, his father was an alcoholic. There was a lot of pain in their family background. And that whole his whole story was about God's love and how God has brought him out of the past and has restored him and his mother. And it's an amazing message of hope for people who have come from a very difficult family background or have struggled with huge issues and to think nothing is beyond God doing something amazing. I think that is a really incredible testimony that's gone out over this nation. Because I think it speaks to this nation in their dysfunction and their brokenness of relationships and the brokenness of their past. And it is a huge prophetic word of hope for our nation that whatever has messed up in your life, God can redeem it and bring something amazing out of it. So, you know, we have to listen in to the voices of the godly prophets at this time, in when there's a whole lot of doom and gloom, isn't there, in the news and terrible scaremongering. Listen to those things because that is actually a prophetic word of God that has come out of this man of authority's mouth over this nation, that there is hope for those who have been broken. testimony is incredibly powerful. So we need to speak out what God has done rather on what is not happening. Praise is another one. Praise is warfare. As we rejoice, as we praise, as we sing, as we dance, as we paint, as we rejoice in God, it actually is part of stoking that fire. Remember the story of the walls of Jericho, where they walked round and round 7 times, was it? And then they blew the trumpet and the walls came down. That was the power of praise. Declaration of the nature of God, his goodness, his good news. When we're faced with these dilemmas, these issues in front of us, we keep saying, but God is good. He's a good, good father. He cares and loves for those people. Yesterday, I was reading an article about how much sexting has become just the normal for our young people, and that they are texting photographs of themselves naked and of their private parts. And this is just a very, very common thing now amongst our teenagers to be doing. And of course, once these pictures are out, they're then out on the internet and being viewed by many people who haven't got healthy appetites in that area. And it is a terrible, terrible thing that is gripping our young people at this time. Now, that I see as a boulder. That is a stone. That is a terrible, terrible thing that is happening to our young people. And it is destroying them through shame and through lack of self-worth and the way they are being dishonoured. And, you know, but we, as the people of God, can open the gates, we can get out, and we can build fires around this so we can bring it down and restore those young people to God's way and God's heart. So we declare God's goodness. We declare God's love over each one of those young people. We declare God's love over those broken people who are viewing those things and taking pleasure in those things. We declare that God is in that situation working for his purposes rather than just standing back and going, tut, 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 what a terrible thing. We are saying, God, get in the midst of it and heal and restore the brokenness in this area. We speak grace to the mountain. There's a verse in Zechariah 4:7 that says, what are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, good word, Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring forth the top stone with shouts of grace, grace to it. So we've been called to shout grace to mountains. That sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? But it's, again, it's where these big mountains are in front of us, and we think, how can that ever change? But we go and we shout grace to that mountain. We go, God is powerful. He is strong. He is mighty to save. So I'm speaking grace to that mountain. Grace, grace, grace. And as we do that, we are stoking the fire of change in those areas. We speak blessings around the problem. I don't know if anybody's come across a book called The Grace Outpouring, which tells a story of a place called Faldibrennan in Wales, where they have lots of lovely sheep and lambs. And we went to visit there, and they had just bringing out this, it's a sort of house of prayer, retreat centre. But their whole message is one of we bless the businesses, we bless the farms, we bless the hospitals, we bless the schools, we bless the villages, we bless our neighbours, we bless, 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 bless. And not just bless us, bless them in a sort of patronising way, but the blessing, the fullness, the wholeness of God be on that village, be on that business, be on that farm, be on that garage, be on that dentist, be on those people. And they are finding an incredible move of the Holy Spirit in that place through prayers of blessing. And you know, even in myself, with having the kind of the cancer happening in my body, the cancer cells, there is a place where you curse those cancer cells and you tell them to go and be gone in Jesus' name. And I get that, because it is an enemy, is cancer. And yet at the same time, they're my cells. It's my body. These poor cells are broken. They're not behaving as they should. They're dysfunctional. They're hurting. And you know, I've started saying, Lord, bless those cells. bring them back in line with how they should be. Lord, I just bless those broken cells. Lord, restore them so they behave properly. You know, there's a sort of slight change of heart, which is instead of, I curse you, it's kind of the Lord's wholeness, 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 wholeness into all the areas of my life. And finally, I've put living the word. We've talked about speaking. These are things we speak. But actually, our lives speak so much, don't they? The way we live our life is as words. The way we carry joy. The way we carry hope to people. The way we smile at people. The way we greet people with openness. The way we don't reject people. All of these things are speaking hope into people. And just to say that fire prayers take time. There's perseverance in declaring all these good things that are here. These are things we do over a period of time, but actually something really deep and significant is happening in those situations as we do this. We're changing the atmosphere. We're changing the constituents of that boulder, that problem. And then the other part of this is my word is like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And just to say that over time, as we have been stoking that fire with goodness and praise and thanksgiving and testimony and living well around that issue, the point comes where we can take our authority in Jesus and we can hit that issue like a hammer. And it will come down. But we have to listen to the decree in heaven for that word. That there is a time when the Lord says, enough. And as we're in tune with the Lord in that area, there is a time when we can speak that word with authority and it's like a hammer and it brings that situation down and breakthrough comes. It's like that final shout around the walls of Jericho. It's like when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus was his friend with his sisters Mary and Martha. And Lazarus had died. That's quite a big boulder, actually, wasn't it? The death of their friend. And Jesus wasn't there and Jesus didn't come. And yet, there was Mary said, we must send for Jesus. That was her faith. That was her knowing that the problem wasn't the only thing. There was an answer beyond that. She said, if only you had been here, he wouldn't have died. That was her calling out testimony of what she'd already seen. She'd seen that other people didn't die when Jesus was around. So she called that out. Martha, in her conversation with Jesus, Jesus said, gave her revelation, I am the resurrection and the life. The nature of God was being decreed. Until that time came when Jesus stood in front of the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And often our decrees are quite simple. It's not long, long babbling words. It's often one word that says, now, come down, come forth, finish, rise up. There's those words that we just get that authority of heaven to speak, and the boulder breaks. Authority, we have the authority as God's people to do those things, and the timing. We listen to the Lord. So just in finishing, really, I just want us just to take a moment to just think about what are the boulders that the Lord is calling us to remove. And I first of all ask you this as a church, because each individual church has assignments that the Lord gives them. Can you think from the Lord, just say about this area, this Britwell area that you're in, are there boulders that are blocking people receiving the message of Jesus' love? Is it heart wounds? Are there strong heart wounds in the people who live around here? Are there lies about God's goodness and love that are just hanging over the atmosphere of this place that we need to break to bring the good news of Jesus? As individuals, are there boulders or stones in the lives of our families and friends and neighbours that we know we just need to build that fire around and remove so that they can come into the fullness of the love of God? Is there anything within our own hearts that has just sat there as a bit of a rock, a bit of a blockage that's just stayed there? And it's now time to build a fire and break it and get it out of our lives. Is this a season of using the word as fire? How can I cultivate speaking out words that stoke the fire? Do I need to change the way I speak around and about this situation? So what needs to change in us about how we speak when we think about those issues? Challenging, isn't it? I find that challenge when I listen to the news every day, because what I'm speaking out isn't full of faith and love always and hope. But I want to change so that when I hear those things, I can actually speak God's word into them. Is this the time to use the word as a hammer? Have you been soaking things in prayer and praise and worship and adoration and testimony for quite a long time, and you are sensing within your spirit, the time is coming. The time is coming. Is it now time for you to take up the authority of heaven and with one word just break that in the lives of people you love and see that change? I wonder what breakthroughs are going to happen this week as we declare the word of God into those things we're praying about. And just to remember that our God, he is an expert at rolling away stones. Thank you.